That's something for the kids to help me with in a bit, if you'd like to volunteer in a bit later. But let me introduce you, first of all, to Florence Chadwick. Florence Chadwick was a famous long-distance swimmer in the 1950s. In 1952, she tried to swim from the coast of California to Catalina Island. That's a distance of 42 kilometers. 42 kilometers. That's from here in Narellan to Wollongong. Swimming. And you don't get to do it downhill either when you go swimming. Now, she started swimming. She swam for 15 hours. She endured choppy waters, possible shark attacks, extreme fatigue. Then, fog set in. Thick, dark fog. And she gave up. It turned out she had only just a bit more than 1 kilometer before she reached the island. Now, 2 months later, she tried again. This time, again, the thick fog set in. But she made it. Now, when she was asked what made the difference, this is what she said. The first time, all I could see was the fog. But the second time, I kept a mental image of that shoreline in my mind while I swam. You see, visualizing her destination made all the difference in her finishing the race. Now, I don't know what you're visualizing. I don't know what you're looking forward to. I don't know what's on the horizon for you. This morning, we're going to look much further in the distance than what's on your mind. We're going to be captured by greater things. We're going to look at things that actually deserve to grip us like nothing else, the eternal things. It's not just that the stuff that we're usually looking forward to here is worthless. All those things are important, aren't they? It's just that we are too far easily pleased. The Christian author C.S. Lewis said this, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Do you find that what usually captures your attentions are just too momentary, too fleeting? Things that maybe you're just trying to get through the next week. Maybe you're just trying to get through the school holidays if you're a parent. Maybe you're just looking forward to getting your mortgage paid off. Maybe you're just looking forward to retirement. Look further, brothers and sisters, of the things of infinite joy. So keep your Bibles open at Revelation 7. I'm going to be looking at that passage together right now. Now, Revelation was a letter written by the Apostle John where he's given a revelation, a vision. It's a vision of God's ultimate plans and purposes for the world. It's the business end of the world here. It's revealed in graphic pictures of what is to come. And so in chapter 7, we see history is about to be wrapped up. All things are about to be made new in this chapter, but not without fierce violence and divine judgment. On the horizon is a hurricane. The old order of things about to be wiped away. The new is about to come. And everything will be destroyed. But not until God makes sure his people are protected. See this in verse 1. "After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, restraining the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel rising up from the east who had the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were allowed to harm the earth and the sea, 'Don't harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we seal the servants of our God on their foreheads.'" And I heard the number of the sealed, those who would be protected from God. 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the Israelites. These are the people who will be protected from God's wrath when everything is made new. And you might think, 144,000, what, are there limited parking spots in heaven or something? Well, no. Remember, Revelation is full of picture words, a vision of what is to come for mere mortals to understand. And like pictures, numbers have meanings too. Now, if you're any good at maths, you realize there are two numbers that keep popping up in this passage. The number 12 and the number 1,000. Now, firstly, number 12. 12, you might remember, if you know your Old Testament particularly, is the number symbolizing God's people. You know, think back, how many sons did Jacob have? 12. How many tribes of Israel were there? 12. How many disciples did Jesus call? How many apostles did he call? 12. Even when Judas Iscariot fell away, they made sure to reinstate the full number. 12. 12 is important. 12 symbolizes the people of God. And then there's 1,000. You know, everything's been amped up by 1,000, multiplied by 1,000. Now, to help us get the significance of this, I'm going to use some of these. Does anyone know what these are? What are these called? Hundreds and thousands, right? Now, any kids like fairy bread here? Okay, can I just get a couple of volunteers? Now, you have to make sure you ask your parents. You don't have to, but come up. And Charlotte, you come up. Does one more person want to come up? Yeah, come up. Come on up. Give them a round of applause. Come on. Come on up. I've got three. Now, just need to confirm with parents. There's no... Oh, yeah, come on. Come on up. Yep. I've got one for you. Now, what's your name? Sam, is it?
Yep.
Nice to meet you. And Charlotte, nice to see you. I know you already. Now, just need to confirm with parents, no butter allergies or are anyone allergic to hundreds and thousands or white bread? Is that okay? Okay, here we go. Now, I've got some pre-prepared buttered bread here. That's for you, Charlotte. Okay, you can take the wrapping off. Yeah. That's for you. And that's for you here. Now, hundreds of thousands, how many am I supposed to put on? Now, the thing is, in Menangle, we don't even have a Woolies yet, so we're rationing a bit. And so, look, I'm going to give you a little less, okay? Here we go. Here's one. Okay, that's enough, I think. How about you? You got seven there. That's generous. Now, are you guys happy? No? You sure? That was 12 there, I think, in the end. It's not called ones and tens, are they? It's called hundreds and thousands. You know, what I should be doing is this, right? Hundreds and thousands. Now, don't spill this, please. Ready? Now, I know you're all nervous that I'm going to break a new building. Sorry in advance, but that's why we have the plates. Is that enough? No, that's not enough. Give these guys a round of applause. Take your seats. Now, just be very careful. Don't spill any of that. I did bring a vacuum cleaner just in case. That's the point God is making here. It is not ones and tens. This is not just the original people of God. This is a thousand. Thousands of his people. Thousands of his people will be sealed for eternity, protected from his wrath. There's 1,000 from the tribe of Judah, 1,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 1,000 from every tribe, 12 times 1,000. That is the full complement of God's people. Meaning not one of God's people will miss out on this future that he has for them. They will be kept safe from the coming destruction. The thing is, when John hears this with his ears, 144,000, he looks up. And what does he actually see? Does he see 144,000? No, he does not. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. He doesn't just see hundreds and thousands, does he? He sees millions, billions, actually a vast number, a number innumerable, multitudinous, numberless, incalculable number. Which, if you step into the shoes of first century Christians that this was written to, suffering under persecution, this would have been unimaginable, wouldn't it? For the people of John's day, the Christians of John's day, Christianity had barely spread across the Mediterranean. They were mainly meeting in little house churches. This following of Jesus, this new movement of the way that started, must have felt pathetic compared to the great Roman Empire. Maybe you look at your church and you feel that sometimes. You know, as grand as this is, a nice new building, you see the neighborhood. You know, I just looked at the census data. Narelle and Spring Farm, about 17,000 people, according to 2021 census. Within this church, how many members do we have here, Jim?
So today there might be, say, 150?
Okay. So 150, that's 1%. And let's just add in other Bible-believing churches in the area, maybe 2%. What we're talking about here is, for every two people here, there are 98 people who don't know Jesus, who are destined for eternal destruction because they do not know the forgiveness he has. Sometimes we look at ourselves and think, who are we? What are we doing? We're not making a dent, are we? We're not making a difference in the world. But brothers and sisters, you need to visualize this end that John saw. Let me read again from verse 9. This time, will you please visualize it? Will you please, actually, close your eyes if you'd like. Close your eyes and hear the word of God. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And can you see it? Can you hear it? The deafening roar of the multitude, the millions and billions of saints singing his praises. That's what's on the horizon. One day, there will be more of us than you can ever count. There will be people coming from places you've never heard of, worshiping with us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the vision John receives doesn't sugarcoat what these people have experienced. He goes on to say in verse 13, one of the elders asked me, "Who are these people in white robes? Where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he told me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've gone through a lot for Jesus. These are not people who have just had their eyes in the sky, enjoying life until Jesus takes them home. These are people who have suffered greatly for Jesus. You see, following Jesus is rough. It's not for the faint-hearted. There are costs all the time, aren't there? As you take risks for Jesus, as you stand up for Jesus, as people see you do that and malign you, reject you, just as they rejected our Savior. Following Jesus always has a cost. We read in 2 Timothy, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus might be persecuted. No, will be persecuted. You go out to those 98 people there and tell them that eternal destruction is awaiting them. What are you going to get? There is no way you can package that truth in a way that makes it palatable to the normal person. There's no way. The vision doesn't sugarcoat what a Christian must go through to make it to this point. But neither does this vision diminish what's in store for them at the end. See their future. Come with me to verse 15. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. The one seated on the throne will shelter them. They will no longer hunger. They will no longer thirst. The sun will no longer strike them, nor will any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of the waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the eternity waiting for you if you are someone who trusts in Jesus now. So why do we lose sight of this vision? Why do we lose sight of this? It's because the fog gets so thick, doesn't it? Because the here and now is so loud. There's so many things demanding our attention. All the demands, all the stresses, all the pressures, all the distractions. I'm sure even as you sat here for the last 10 or so minutes, you've been thinking, what do I have to get done after this? What happens this week? Oh no, what's worrying me next month? What's due? Your studies, your work, your relationships, your mortgages, your toys, your health issues. One of the ways I think you can see what's actually dominating your horizon is by looking at your prayer life. What do you actually pray for? That's a great way to diagnose what's actually looming large in your eyesight. What do you pray for? Whenever I join a growth group and we read the Bible together and we pray together, there's always four things that dominate every prayer session. Always four things. Maybe it's the same for you. Four things. Better marks, less health issues, less stress, more time. Doesn't that sum up every prayer session that you've been part of? How short-sighted are we? The God of the universe, when we pray to him, the God of the universe who holds the stars in his hands, he is waiting to answer our prayers, and yet we pray for, please heal my leg. Get me better marks at uni. Help me navigate this little work issue. How unambitious are we? What Revelation is telling us is this. Look up. Lift your eyes to what God sees. Because all your worries, all your focus is on this little bit right now. This little red bit. This is what your life is, this tiny little red bit. Now, maybe this might be 60, 70, 90 years of your life. It feels significant to us because it's so loud, the here and now. It dominates our vision. But I need another volunteer to help me. Can another kid come up to help me right now? Another brave kid. That, oh, yep, Micah, yep. Thank you so much, Micah. Oh, actually, you can come up as well. Come up, come up. I need two helpers. Thank you very much. Now, Micah, nice to meet you. Hello. What's your name? Olivia. Nice to meet you. Thanks. Now, you guys are going to show us what eternity looks like, okay? So I want you to grab the other end of the rope and just keep walking that way, okay? Go on. Okay. Olivia, here you go. Come over here. And you're going to help her drag them out, okay? Keep going. Keep going. No, drag it, Micah. Go, help her drag it on the other end. Keep going. Help her, Micah. Keep dragging it. Drag it. Keep going. Okay, we can stop now. Nah, keep going. Okay, they'll be off the site soon. If any parents are worried about cars, now's the time. Okay, stop. Come back in. You guys can come back in. Now there's a lot more rope, isn't there? Come back. You can leave it there. Thank you so much, Olivia. Thank you, Micah. Can you give them a round of applause, please? Thanks, guys. That's eternity. And that's not even close, is it? And yet we are so worried about this little bit. This tiny little bit. Yes, it's loud and it's red and it's dominating and it's stressful and it's full of worries and you kind of worry, oh, what can we make do with this life? Let's safeguard this. Let's protect this. Let's make sure we make this bit as comfortable as possible. Let's put all our energies into this little bit and stress about this and worry about this little bit. When there is eternity to come, where there will be no tears, no pain, no suffering, because our Lamb will be our shepherd and he will take care of us forever. And we worry about this little bit. Do you think in 1,000 years, which will be maybe about there, maybe, right? Maybe in 1,000,000 years, maybe about there, do you think you'll be enjoying the bliss of heaven, the incomparable majesty of the new creation, and you're going to look back at this little bit and think, gee, I wish I bought more stuff. Gosh, I wish I traveled more of the world and saw more of the old creation. You will not. Will you be thinking, oh, look, suffering for Jesus, that was really actually really high. I wish I didn't suffer so much for Jesus. I wish I spent less time telling people about Jesus, actually. I think I spent too much time telling people about Jesus. Will you look back and look here and say, no, you will not. You see, if you're captured by the here and now, you will live like everyone else in the neighborhood. You will do everything to protect your little nest egg. You will spend your life making your home the best it can be. And sure, it might be great for 60, 70, 80 years or a bit more if you're lucky. You may be able to safeguard your little family from all sorts of risks, social, emotional, financial, because you'll do anything and everything you can to make sure you are protected in this life. But I promise you, if you do that, you will do nothing of eternal significance in this life. You will live very little lives because you see very, very little in front of your face. But if you raise your eyes and look to God's horizon, if you look and work for that day, and if you suffer for Jesus and take risks for eternity, there will be some people you'll find who will be standing with us on the last day in the throne room of God, singing God's praises. And you know why they'll be there? They will be there because of you. You'll be the reason some people who are not sealed for eternity right now are, that they will be on the last day in the throne room of God, singing God's praises of eternity. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, what could we do for the kingdom if we see what God sees? Don't live for the here and now. Live for that day. For that, we need God to give us the eyes to see. And so would you please join me in prayer? Father God, we're sorry that we're so easily distracted by the things of this world. But we thank you that you sent your Son into our world to save us, that we might live and live truly for eternity. Thank you for the future that you have in store for us. So we ask, lift our eyes to the end you have for mankind. Capture our hearts by your Spirit. Equip us to bring people from every nation, tribe, people, and language to yourself, that thousands and thousands from Narellan and Menangle and all over the world mightily sing in worship of your name on the day when our shepherd returns. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.